in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to welcome back a production we've had on our show before. It's an incredible bi-monthly show that is presented in part by Frigid NYC. And to talk to us about that today, we have the curator and co-producer Christian Cadigal and the co-producer Olivia Orbell here to talk to us about Odd Salon. Their upcoming iteration is entitled NYC Excelsior, and it's happening March 13th at 6 p.m. at Under St. Mark's. Tickets and more information can be found at frigid.nyc. This is a fabulous, fabulous program that you are going to want to check out. We loved learning about it last time, and we're so excited to learn that it's found a new home at Under St. Mark's. So let's dive more into this by welcoming on our guest, Christian, Olivia, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for having us.
I'm so excited to have the Odd Salon back. I'm so excited that you found a new home. You're continuing with this bi-monthly series. And I want to start by refreshing our listeners' memory about what Odd Salon is. So Christian, could you tell us a little bit about what the Odd Salon is, essentially?
Yeah, Odd Salon was created in San Francisco back in 2014 with a desire to by our founders, Annetta Black, Trey Belchowski, and at the time, Rachel James, I think now Rachel Snyder. And they wanted to create the world of the salons once again, where people got together, had drinks, schmoozed, and like learned stuff from each other. In our case, it's very much experts and enthusiastic amateurs telling short 10-minute cocktail hour talks in the fields of art, history, science, adventure. And we started in the upstairs small space of a punk rock club in San Francisco with lots of screaming and joy and you know, drinking games like, oh, you said ships, let's take a shot. And then, because there's lots of ships in history, by the way. And then it moved to like the downstairs space, when like, you know, 100, 200 seater downstairs. And then it moved on to a different venue, a larger venue in San Francisco. And after about 4 years, I was like, hey guys, hey gang, because I'm bi-coastal. I've been in San Francisco, New York the past few years. And I was like, hey, can we start a New York branch? And I have a relationship with Frigid because I've been performing there off and on since 2009 with their Frigid Fest, now their New York City Fringe Festival. And Arez brought us in with open arms and has been hugely supportive of Odd Salon being there. And that was 2018 we started with like a preliminary season. And that's when Olivia joined us very quickly became a fellow. Becoming a fellow means you give your third talk and you get a pin. And then we scream, one of us, one of us, one of us. And now
and then you realize you've joined a cult and you can't escape. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. And Olivia has not regretted it at all ever since.
No.
And yeah, and since then, well, we're still with Frigid. Frigid has let go of their, some of your listeners in the area may know, Frigid has let go of the lease on the Crane Theater, and they're focusing on hopefully getting something bigger and better in the coming year or two. But so we're joining the rest of the programming and cramming ourselves into Under St. Mark's for this year. And yeah, so if you want to learn about weird things, if you want to learn about obscure parts of history you've never heard of before, if you want to give a talk, anybody can give a talk at Odd Salon. The people who give talks are people who just pitched ideas for a theme that we had, and they do or don't get selected, but we normally are pretty good about always trying to get one or two new people every show. And then you come up with a talk, 10 minutes of talk with slides and silliness, and maybe we scream ships a couple more times, maybe bears. And yeah, and then we all go to a bar around the corner and hang out and get to know each other and get to make friends. It's not just about nerding out over random facts. It's about getting to make friends, like-minded individuals who may not be from your own community, right? So I very much come from theater, from both as a magician and an actor. Olivia comes from the science museum world. We're both from the Bay Area. We never would have met if it was not for Odd Salon, right? So we have folks from all sorts of interests and spectrums that come to attend Odd Salon and to speak at Odd Salon. And very much our stage is your stage. And we welcome everybody to come watch and to come speak.
That is fantastic. I love it. Well, Olivia, I want to know, you know, how did you come upon the Odd Salon?
Yes, it's totally random and one of those things that you look back and you're like, oh, this could only have happened one way on this off chance of a day. And it really kind of shows you, like, sometimes you're just guided into where you need to be. As Christian mentioned, my real job is at the American Museum of Natural History, where I work in education. And I was on my lunch break at the office and scrolling through Instagram, and someone I had worked with in college back in California had taken a picture of one of our dinosaurs, and it just popped up on my feed. And I was like, I haven't seen this person in 8 years. What is he doing at work? This was crazy. So I ran into the museum, found my friend, coincidentally named Christopher and another Chris in the world. And his wife was doing research at the museum. After work, we had drinks all together. And he's like, you won't believe what I'm doing tomorrow night. You have to come to the first New York City Odd Salon, where we will tell stories from art and history and science and have a grand old time with the weirdest, most wonderful people. And I said, I'm in. Where do I go? And that's how I met everyone in like September of 2018. And in October of 2018, I gave my first talk. So they were very welcoming to that. And yeah, just on any other day, or if I had not been looking at Instagram on my phone and he hadn't been there, totally would have missed out on this wonderful opportunity and this great community of friends that I've grown into.
That is so wonderful. I love it. Olivia, sticking with you on this next question, I'm curious about this upcoming iteration of Odd Salon, NYC Excelsior. What has it been like putting this show together?
Well, we have some informal, like, group work within our community, and we, roll up to a bar and say, what do we want our talks to be about this year? And we came up with a whole bunch of beautiful adjectives and fun words that kind of sparked ideas. And when Christian and Greg and I picked the six words for the year, we wanted to start being the New York City chapter of Odd Salon. We always like to do something that sparks of, the local interests. And of course, Excelsior is the New York State motto. So we picked that to start off our year.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Christian, as not only the co-producer, but also the curator of this upcoming event, how did you select the talks that are going to be given this time around?
Yes. Yeah, so we have a pitch page at oddsalon.com/speak. First, we always announce within the group, and we have two public Facebook facing groups. We have the Odd Salon page, and then we have Learn Something Weird, and that's also ours, our public-facing page. And we send out the call, hey, we are taking pitches for Odd Salon NYC Excelsior. And each curator is always a little different as to how they want to approach a topic. We always try and select those words that are going to be really interesting, but also broad. So, like, for example, our next show after this will be Blunder, and Olivia will be curating Blunder. And So with Excelsior, I wanted things that were very New York history. Give me skyscrapers, give me Zeppelins, give me Longfellow. And we got all that. And then people made pitches, and there's a whole, form online. You can enter your name, information, what your interest, had your quick little paragraph for the pitch to give an idea of what that would be like. A little part that says, why are you the person to give this talk? Like, maybe you're an expert, or maybe you're just been a nerd about it for the past 10 years and none of your friends will listen to you talk about it, but now you can do that, for free and for booze. We took submissions. A lot of them are from the regulars. We have lots of stalwarts that want to come back again and again and again, and love doing it. And we have one new speaker this time, and they will be giving a talk on Stan Lee, because Stan Lee of Marvel, because his motto was Excelsior. But what we don't know is that he also did lots of cartoon work and playwriting for the war effort, World War II. So we have a new speaker who'll be giving a whole talk on that topic as well. So we have everything from that to Longfellow and his poem Excelsior, to somebody talking about the history of the Woolworth Building. somebody else talking about tulip mania, how arguably tulips and 17th century and 17th century were like the cryptocurrency of its time.
For good or for that. That makes me so excited about this upcoming iteration. Just the different vignettes of New York, the different ways that people view New York, all right there. That's so wonderful. Olivia, kind of snowballing off of that, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences take away from this upcoming show?
Oh, just how much fun this show can be. We are, you know, still coming back from COVID and building our audience and bringing in more people. And at any Odd Salon show, you will learn something weird. There, even if you are an expert in some way, these are talks that will kind of spark an interest in something you hadn't thought of before. Maybe from a different perspective, maybe from a different time in history. We like looking at stories that are pre-World War II generally, because that's not our most accessible form of history beyond living memory generally. Learning about it. You go in and there's a theme, but you could still learn about anything. And usually when we're at our after party, which everyone in the audience is invited to, you get to mingle and meet new people, but then it's also like, oh, and this, and the stories that come out of that after party is just as much fun as the show. People should come and then stick around and meet all of us.
Yes. Yes. I love that the show literally has an after party that they're just bringing the whole group with, you know. Christian, how about you as the curator of this iteration? What is the message or thought you hope audiences take away?
Oh, I mean, the message and thought is always the same. It's curiosity and community of whatever that show is, whatever that day's theme is. It's really about coming together under just the desire to learn the things that don't get taught in school, the things that tend to get buried in history, that give us a different perspective on history. Because whenever you learn something about history that you didn't know before, it changes who you are. It changes your perspective, especially if it's about the local area you grew up in or have moved to. You may not realize that things had an influence on your life in ways that you weren't expecting, like everything from how, you know, Kellogg's was made to, you know, weird nudist colonies in upstate New York to, you know, I think for me and Olivia, like, you know, random statues in the Bay Area or San Francisco that we didn't know had XYZ history to them, right? That we just walked by all the time and we just ignored. And now we realized, oh, there's a story there. I have a friend who's a great historian of New York history. And I tell him, I don't know. I have a hard time absorbing New York history because there's so much of it. Every corner, every fire hydrant, every brick has 10 stories over 2.5 centuries. And it's so hard to like absorb all of it. But knowing that many of these buildings have been here for so long and that their presence just has an aura and an influence in how you maneuver through them on your day-to-day walks to work or to the park. And I love getting to learn those random parts of history that, like I said, that we don't know are having that invisible effect on us.
I love that. Yes. My final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to Odd Salon and to this upcoming performance, NYC Excelsior? And Christian, I would love to start with you first on that, if I may.
I mean, everyone, really. Thankfully, we actually have, well, there's a set ticket price. It's also sliding scale. So, you know, do you got a dollar? You could put in a dollar and you will get a ticket to the show. Do you have $100? You could bump up the price on the 25 slot and make it 100. We'll happily take your money. It goes towards the people who can't afford it, right? It helps to balance things out for us. So we hope that Odd Salon NYC is always accessible to everybody who's interested in this, and hopefully we'll find a little home to carve out for themselves in it.
Yes, loving that. Olivia, what about you? Who do you hope have access?
Yeah, anyone that wants to know more, and also those that have maybe been missing a stage in their life. If they were, you know, theater kids in high school or debate people or people that love to research and just want to share information, We are all about having that community, and anyone can give a talk. So come to Excelsior and then be inspired and get the bug and want to come up stage and tell your own story. And the next part, we've got 6 talks this year. We got to fill them up. It's going to be great.
Well, I want to switch things up now for the second part of our interview and let our listeners get a chance to know the two of you. Pick your brain, if you will. And I want to start by asking the two of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows in the past have inspired you or are just some of your favorites? And Olivia, is it okay if I start with you?
Sure. There are so many. Another part of the Odd Salon community is how welcoming it was to be a fellow nerd and to have people that are always carrying books with them and just diving in. There's a huge section of theater people, and I was a wannabe theater kid. So that was always inspiring to be around. But personally, my current reading is half like silly fiction or hard like science and stuff. So I'm really currently reading a book called The Glass Universe and looking at early women astronomers from Harvard in the 1700s. So like, it just depends. I like a lot of seeing women in science. That has long been a passion of mine. I gave a talk on Madame Curie. Most people know about her. A lot of people didn't know she went on a trip around the United States after she won her Nobel Prizes. And there was Mary Kingsley, female researcher and explorer, one of the first white women to explore Eastern Africa or Western Africa in the 1800s, even though the men said you shouldn't do that. She's like, I've got enough money, I can do what I want. And so she went out to tell more stories. That's super inspiring to me. Also, single female in the world, we're just like, we're getting out there, we're getting it done. Nobody has to tell us what to do.
Yes, I love that. Great list. Christian, what or who inspires you?
I mean, in the realm of the arts or playwriting, someone who's always inspired me, only because of completely the other work I do, would be, it's not done so much anymore, Harold Pinter. I take that back. Pre-pandemic, there was production of Betrayal. What I always loved about Harold Pinter, especially from the American lens and the American ear, is how much we just understand how his characters are communicating, even though to American ears, it sounds like they're not communicating. But there's just a mystery. There's always a mystery to what is happening just underneath the dialogue with Harold Pinter. There's always just an unsaid thing. And in my magic work, there's very much always the unsaid thing. Things are always just like a little weirder or darker or spookier. There's always another story being told underneath the story. And you may or may not discover that by the end of the show. And so I've always enjoyed kind of taking that thinking, how much can you say without saying things? But that's in my personal work. Otherwise, when it comes down to things like Odd Salon, particularly the past many years, I've been very much always curious about the histories of marginalized people, right? Women, people of color, queer people, because they did stuff that we just don't know they did and that had an impact, things that they invented, like Hedy Lamarr, right? I know in my own field in magic, what we don't realize is that Harry Houdini, she became super famous in authoritarian Eastern Europe. He was a failure in the States. Nobody cared. But in authoritarian Eastern Europe, starting I think in Dresden, then Berlin, then Russia, a little Jewish man who could get out of chains and shackles of the authority figures of Eastern Europe, that really resonated and meant something. And that changes the way you think of him, right? And then he came back a hero to the United States. So the idea, you know, for us, it's the idea of the immigrant man being able to escape binds and shackles, right? Maybe our American ear says, oh, that means it's like the States was freedom. Who knows? But there's also Henry Box Brown, who we don't realize was a Black man who, born into slavery, freed himself by shipping himself in a crate to Pennsylvania, to the Anti-Slavery Society in Pennsylvania. in a harrowing, like 1800s James Bond version of just like in a box upside down, and it was horrible. And later on became went off to give talks about his experience as an enslaved person, the history of slavery. He would the mid 1800s was big on what I call the early documentary, which was cranky shows, you know, panorama shows, where basically you turn a crank and a canvas moves and the picture and the backdrop moves behind you. Well, he did that. He told the history of slavery that way, and then his own life story. And he became Henry Box Brown because obviously he shipped himself in the box. Some promoter or somebody called him that one day, right? But he would eventually move to England, essentially trying to escape recapture. And he became a touring magician with still doing his history of slavery and the history of the revolt of India against the British, and then do a magic show, a two-act magic show. And when you read the program, I'm going, oh, this man had known magic his whole life. He didn't just pick this up. He knew this stuff, right? And he would do like big self-promotion things like come into town with a marching band behind him. He might have been the first 76 trombones, you know what I'm saying? Right? So to realize that there are people like that, and you know, he would eventually get a little more shunned by some of the anti-slavery people because he was not doing respectable work, he was being a magician. Because we're just all, you know, criminals and
getting no respect.
It's no respect. But yeah, to be able to like to learn about him, I didn't realize he existed, right? And even people who do know about him in history don't realize that he was a magician and a popular one in England, right? So I mean, those are just two examples from my little niche world of people from history we didn't know existed or didn't know that they became popular in a certain way. And what does that change in your point of view of them and culture and yourself and everything else in between, right?
That is a wonderful list, and how fascinating this person is. That's incredible. I'm going to use that to snowball into my next question, which is, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Christian, I want to stick with you first, if I may.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's the classic, you love to be on stage, you love to be able to create something with other people that is live and palpable to a group of strangers, right? Or a community that's used to coming together. I think the beauty of theater is also that you have that temporary community with a bunch of strangers you've never met before and you may never see again, but you're all choosing to join together to have this experience together and then leave. And hopefully the show did a good enough job, come out changed or just in a better mood than you walked in, right? But yeah, I think for me, it's always been a matter of storytelling. So whether it's as a magician, it's been either explicit storytelling in my magic or how much can I create the story that you're going to tell your friends later on? Like, dude, I went to go see a magic show last night. Guess what happened to me? And now there's a story that you are telling other people about your experience. It's theater that's happened to you. As an actor, obviously, whatever part I'm playing, I'm only concerned about like, okay, how do I help tell the story in the scene? Getting to be backstage as the kind of the magic consultant or associate illusion designer for things. It's again, like how does this illusion or this moment help push the story along? What needs to be tweaked? How is it organically coming in or out of this scene or that scene? I always love puzzling over those things. Or even does this scene even need a magic trick? Maybe it doesn't need one because the scene is better without it. And then obviously Odd Salon, it's all storytelling. And I think I enjoy doing it. I am also a tour guide. In San Francisco, I run a haunted history walking tour. And so I get to kind of throw in my obscure tales with the lore on top of that, right? And in that case, again, it's the storytelling and how much can you, especially I love telling the stories to the locals. When I have lots of locals on the tour, the tour becomes 3 hours long because I'm telling them everything. But they're loving it because they get to hear all these things they didn't know about before, right? And so, yeah, so I guess it's always about the storytelling and it's always about the experience of the storytelling and how palpable can you make the experience of the story so they feel it and they experience it internally, not just hearing a lecture. I am not an activist, but I have an activist heart, even though I don't do it myself. But I say there's frontline warriors and then there's people who have to write the story or sometimes run away with the books if the war's not going very well, right? And And I consider myself, you know, the storyteller, the troubadour, the collector of the stories that make sure they continue being told well after we're not here.
Superb. Truly just fantastic. I love that. Olivia, how about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Well, with odds, like I don't have a theater background. So this is my small way to contribute to an art form that I've always loved and been like so inspired by. I wanted to be a member of the Rockettes. I didn't have the feet to do that or the height, but it's just like that always being like there's a stage and there's this something to see, that that spectacle was always really cool to me. For Odd Salon, my favorite part is researching it, like knowing I have a cool idea and then digging into all the research and looking online and finding as much information as I can, and then distilling that into a short report with slides and pictures, and knowing that you get to tell this story that not a lot of people know about. And you may not be an expert, but you're more of an expert after your 3 weeks of researching. And that's a way to give back as well, I think. And that's like, I love it. I love like collecting the pictures. I love finding all the data points, making silly jokes out of it. It's very fun.
It's a marvelous answer. I'm right there with you. And now we have arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
I think it was seeing the first show I saw in New York when I moved here was Newsies. And we're all like in grad school, stressed out of our minds, but these dancers are just going to seize the day. And it was a really fun bonding experience with my classmates, and also just, you know, a great nostalgic, lovely show about New York.
A beautiful memory. I love it. Christian, what about you? What is your favorite theater memory?
I mean, it's a toss-up, and one will sound like self-promotion. Oh, no. See, now I have three. one of the first ones, the first one that I can, I'm kind of going back now to 2003 or four. For a while, I was in the collective of the San Francisco Mime Troupe, which is the longest living political theater company in the nation. It is not mime like hands on the wall mime. Long story why it's called mime. It started back in the late 50s. It's always been political theater, very, very left of left theater, and has a long history in San Francisco. And it's usually free shows in the park. But every year this company writes a brand new political comedy, a brand new musical political comedy with a small cast of like 5 to 8 people. Everyone playing multiple roles. It's very kind of fun, cheesy, cartoony, but biting left of left critique of what's going on. And it's legendary. It's absolutely legendary to especially San Francisco history. But opening day is always Dolores Park in the Mission District of San Francisco. Big, beautiful park, big bowl, big hill. Everybody gathering around this little tiny stage that does flips and tricks and has trap doors and a live band off to the side and doing little sound effects as we walk and stuff like that, right? And I had been learning, and I learned about the mime troupe in college. In my old high school, there's an old San Francisco mime troupe poster from like the late 60s, right? So to one day find myself cast in a mime troupe show, my first mime troupe show in 2004, I believe it was. So yeah, 20 years ago, I'm old. And it was me and another newbie. And we're kind of backstage. And backstage doesn't mean much because you're just out in the open. But we're looking at the back of the set, the back of the stage. And the bowl of people, of dense heads on 4th of July in Dolores Park is just goes from like your far 3 o'clock all the way to your far 9 o'clock, right? Like, and with the stage blocking your view between, you know, clock 2 and 10, right? But... And we're sitting there going, that's about 4,000 people. And me and the newbie at the time, me and Becca look at each other and we go like, hey, Becca, we're in the mime troupe. And like, I know. So yeah, and you know, to get to like sing songs and then say jokes that make 4,000 people outside laugh is pretty great. So I'll stick with that one. I'll stick with that one as the memory.
That's a fantastic memory. I have to see this troupe now. I have to see the show. This sounds incredible. So thank you both for sharing those. Those were wonderful.
Thank you.
Do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
We've got many more Ocelans coming this year. I don't have my notebook of the calendar, but so we've got the March New York City Excelsior show. Then in May, there's Blunder. And in July, we have Mischief. So the three I can remember. And they will all be at Under St. Mark's. And then in the fall, we've got three more. So Ocelan has a whole year stacked, and we'd love any and all to come.
That is fantastic. Christian, anything for you?
You know, same, but everything Olivia said. You can find me off and on weekends at Speakeasy Magic, which is part of the McKittrick company, the Sleep No More company, although now we have our own venue, but we're still part of the company. I won't say what Speakeasy Magic is. I'll just say that I'm sometimes one of a handful of magicians who gets to be there on the weekends.
It's mind-blowing. It's so much fun.
And I'm heading out this weekend for a couple days. I was the associate illusion designer on Fat Ham. Not the designer, but the associate designer. And the Fat Ham with the whole cast and creative are all going to the Geffen in LA. So I'm going to do a couple days of rehearsal with the cast and then go out again, you know, at the end of the month to get it to opening.
That's amazing. How exciting. So some great things for both of you in store, and a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Ocelan or about either of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
You can go to ocelan.com and send an email there, and we'll happily, one of the many producers of San Francisco and New York will get to us,
most definitely.
Well, wonderful. Well, Christian, Olivia, thank you both so much for stopping by today and talking to us about this wonderful, wonderful event. I cannot wait to attend my first one. And I'm hoping that this is going to be my first one because the theme is right up my alley. And I just love the work that you're doing. This is so wonderful. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. We hope to meet you in person soon.
Yes. My guests today have been the curator and co-producer, Christian Cadigal, and the co-producer, Olivia Orbell, both who are with Ocelan, and they stopped by to talk about the upcoming Ocelan happening here in New York called NYC Excelsior. It's happening March 13th at 6 p.m. at their new home, Under St. Mark's, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted in our social media posts, as well as on our episode description. But come on out March 13th at 6 p.m. Join us. I'm going to make this my first Ocelan, and certainly not my last. So get your tickets. Let's all join this wonderful company at Under St. Mark's for NYC Excelsior, the latest Ocelan here in New York, happening March 13th at 6 p.m. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.